I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jonah Carey.
Yeah, great to see you.
You too. I don't know who you are, but it's great to see you.
The Athletic and the Opener Podcast.
He's throwing his pillow, he's throwing his nightcap, and Yuppie's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tim Raines, enthusiast.
Tim Raines, yeah! Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tim was rock solid playing.
Is that right?
Jonah Carey with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Jonah Carey is on Twitter at Jonah Carey, and he is also of The Athletic, Sportsnet, and The Opener Podcast, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Jonah, how's it going?
Great, how are you guys?
Wonderful. Been looking at a Cubs team that lost its first series for the first time in about a month, a little over a month, actually. What has their rebound, their surge, their potentially quest for one of the best winning percentages so far in baseball meant? What's the biggest thing that's changed for them as you look at them?
Well, the pitching. If you look at the wins above replacement over the last 2 weeks, they're actually 16th among position players. So right in the middle of the pack, really nothing all that impressive. Not nothing. I mean, they've had some producers, certainly. But as a whole, pretty average. But you look at their pitching, this is over the last 2 weeks. Kyle Hendricks in his last three starts has a 0.36 ERA. John Lester over his last two starts is a 0.00 ERA. Steve Cishek, unblemished. Mike Montgomery, unblemished. You go on and on and on. They've really gotten a lot of contributions, both from starters and relievers that they didn't get earlier in the season. And this is what they hoped for, right? I mean, with all the veterans, with Hendricks and with Lester and with Hamels, and the hope was that Darvish would turn around. Darvish was magnificent in his most recent start. Didn't see that coming. They're finally putting it together, and it's been nice to see.
This has been a test for them, this next three. They had Luis Castillo last night, who was dealing on them a little bit. They were kind of guessing on that changeup every once in a while.
Yeah.
And now it's Scherzer and Strasburg. And is this sort of a stress test for them?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, it might require them to win some 2-1 and 3-2 games, no question about it. Castillo, are we saying front runner for Cy Young in the National League? Because he's really, really good. He's not the first team that he's really humiliated on the field. He's awesome. And Scherzer and Strasburg, it's going to be the same thing. And so it's going to be up to the Cubs to come up with timely hitting and, find the big pop where they can get it. And the hope is that'll happen. And, on the offensive side, we were talking about it a little bit. What happened to Jason Hayward? Hayward, it looked like he finally had his breakout, and he's completely fallen off the beam. Offensively, he hasn't really been there. And they've had other guys who've struggled, too. Schwarber's really had just kind of a lost season. David Bodie hasn't been really good all lately. So they've got to pick it up with some other guys, whether that's anybody, whether it's Russell or Rizzo or Contreras or Baez. I mean, they just need to find some other sources. I will say Chris Bryant has been hitting very well lately, obviously, which is nice to see. Whatever shoulder injury or whatever malaise he had in the past, that looks like he's beyond that now.
Where are you on Schwarber, big picture?
The thing about Schwarber is he's got to hit a metric ton to be valuable, right? Because he doesn't run, he doesn't field, he's got to be a hitter, and you can't flirt with 200 and have okay power and sometimes less than okay power. The Cubs believe in him so much, and a lot of it has to do with his work ethic. The great Verducci book, which is The Cubs Way, which talked about all those guys that they built the team with, Rizzo, Bryant, all them, really a long section on Schwarber and just how smitten Theo and company are with this guy, that he busts his butt and he really tries hard to make it work, but gee, at some point, results have to come into play. He's no longer all that young. He's no longer all that cheap. He's certainly about to be not all that cheap anymore. He's got to hit, because if he doesn't hit, there's really not much room for him, because he doesn't provide anything else on the field.
Where then do you put this offense in terms of potential when you've got four players in, Rizzo and Baez and Bryant and Contreras, who are providing it at really top-tier levels, versus the rest? Is it just like a couple of guys get on streaks here or there and float the consistent performers? I mean, it's not really stars and scrubs because it's four guys.
Yeah.
Is that enough in a National League?
Well, it might be, but the division is very competitive. The Brewers are an excellent team. The Cardinals have fallen off the pace a little bit, but they were my pick to win the division at the beginning of the year. I still like them a great deal. So it might require a trade, you know, and you think of trades in today's day and age, it's often going after relief pitchers. Like, that's a readily available commodity. Occasionally you can get a starter. They were able to trade for Hamels at a deadline. You know, things like that do happen on occasion, but we'll see if they can get, you know, a significant bat that is rarer to find. You know, whether it's a rebuilding team, whether it's a team with a guy who's in his walk year before free agency, but that might be what's required, particularly in the outfield. They're not exactly that potent in outfield when it comes to offense, and you know, at some point they might need to consider adding a bat there.
I know the White Sox catcher James McCann is hitting for a high batting average of balls in play and is certainly due for some sort of reasonable regression, but he looks pretty good, and it's been fun to watch. His approach has been great. His teammates have been lauding his preparation both offensively and defensively. Is he better than we all thought, or is this just a blip?
No, I think it's certainly possible that he is better. He's only 28 years old, so there is that, and we're seeing some improvement, particularly in contact rate. You look at contact rate on pitches out of the zone has been better. There's some other things going on there, and also hard contact. That's probably the bigger thing, even. As you talk about hard contact, I'm pulling it up right now. Hard contact is the highest of his career. Pull rate is about the same, but it's been really good to see the hard contact. And, you know, it's working for him. He's been able to do some things. And then the home run for fly ball rate is also the highest of his career. Look, sometimes you have hitters that make minor changes and they have a big effect because of today's day and age, because the ball is livelier, which we've established, because, you know, balls travel more than they do, because the launch angle is a little bit steeper. So it could just be that these little tiny things are coming into play for him. He's not going to hit, whatever it is, 366 or whatever all year long, but there's certainly room for power and there's certainly room for pop from an unexpected source, sure.
There's a good portion of Sox fans that feel pretty good about their team right now. There are certainly issues about the rotation, and there's a little bit of lingering animosity or even just frustration about not getting Manny Machado this offseason. That still exists, especially when you see him putting up highlight reel stuff on San Diego, but whatever, it's fine. I'm over it. This division, though, is an interesting one. Are the Twins as real as they seem to be?
Yeah, I like the Twins a lot, and I think the thing that, I wrote a whole feature on the Twins last month for The Athletic and was talking about their offense and went into depth about, you know, all the improvements that we've seen, that they went out and they got Nelson Cruz, and Rosario's been a big hitter, and Jorge Polanco looks like an all-star, and just up and down the lineup, really, really impressive. I didn't even really get into Buxton, who is a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. If he's going to hit, I mean, that's a really big-time impact player. So all of that, but I didn't even get into starting pitching, and to me, that's a difference maker, too, because you look at Jose Barrios, he's like the Luis Castillo of the American League. You know, a young guy, maybe there was some heat behind him last year, didn't quite pan out. He was good, but didn't quite pan out as you would expect, but now turning it on. And he's got support in that rotation. Martin Perez was enough. I mean, I don't want to be cruel, but he was a non-entity, really. And the fact that he picked up this cutter in spring training and suddenly is pitching this well is impressive. And Gibson's not bad. And Odorizzi's pitching a little bit. He's over his skis a little bit in terms of superficial numbers versus advanced stats. But he's certainly a capable guy if he's your number three or number four starter. They've got a team over there. You know, they don't really have very many weaknesses. I picked them at the beginning of the year to win the division. I thought Cleveland would have issues because they didn't address their offense. Boy, howdy, I think I was right on that. I think Cleveland's been not very good and struggling with run differential and so forth. So the Twins, to me, are prohibitive favorites. I do think they benefit from playing in a weak division. There's no question. But I think if you put them in kind of a neutral division, they're a 90-plus win team by talent. They're really good.
I was more than a little dismayed by the behavior of Ian Kinsler last night in San Diego. Hits the three-run homer to put his team ahead. No problem with the bat flip at all. But then to arrive at home plate, screaming F-bombs, apparently at the fans, and then trying to mealy-mouth his way out of it afterwards. Oh, no, it wasn't really at the fans. It's a joke with the teammates. Even after his own manager said, yeah, you can't behave that way. And he said, well, our managers know all our inside jokes. And then I went back and I saw that Craig Calcaterra had posted a tweet from none other than Ian Kinsler going back to the 2016 World Baseball Classic when he was lecturing the Puerto Ricans and the Dominicans about proper baseball behavior and how they were raised a different way. Not from you, Ian Kinsler. Sorry, not going to have it from that guy.
I'm going to serve up a very, very minor naughty word, and feel free to hit the beep button. It's a three-letter word that starts with A. But basically, Mark Carrig for The Athletic had written an article recently about guys have a case of the red ass. I don't know if we can say that.
Absolutely we can, yeah.
Okay, well, that's what Ian Kinsler has. He's a red ass. He's an old-timey guy who he can get upset, but nobody else can. It's okay for me, but it's not okay for you. And he flat out said, F all you. That's exactly, you could read his lips, you could go over the replay, and he was pointing, he was gesturing toward the fans when he said it. That is, you know, not okay. I love celebrating, I love bat flips, I love all kinds of things. I like joy in baseball. Anger toward fans, you know, you can do it if you want to, but I'm going to call you a jerk if you do it, because, you know, the fans are the paying customers. We're all fans, we like the game, and the fact that you do that, you know, the guy's hitting .177, probably getting booed for good reason. He hasn't been very good on a Padres team that's actually not bad at all. I get it. You know, Kinsler's made I don't know how much money in his career. He's had lots of good seasons. He's not that good anymore. I'm sure he's frustrated, but c'est la vie, man. You got to do better or Luis Urias is going to come and take your job.
Yeah, but could you imagine if that were somebody who was, you know, say it's Manny Machado who does something like that. Say it's Yasiel Puig who does something like that. I mean, Ian Kinsler's kind of getting away with it, maybe because he's Ian Kinsler.
Well, I hope he's not getting away with it, and we're on this show saying that Ian Kinsler is a jerk. I mean,
right.
I'm going to say it, and you guys can say it, and I think the more people that call somebody out like that in the media, the better, and I think there's no question about the fact that you get different treatment if you're white. I think that that's the case in baseball. It's the case in society. You're just going to get different people reacting in different ways, and, you know, when you're calling somebody a red ass, it implies that they're, you know, there's a certain amount of humor behind it, like, it's okay, and, you know, this guy just, he gets chafed and whatever, but that doesn't change the fact that he's being a jerk, too. I mean, this is not acceptable, and I don't care what skin color you are. You shouldn't be cursing out the fans. That's not cool at all.
We'll make T-shirts. IanKinslersAJerk.com. I wonder,
there you go.
Jonah, I've bagged on the Orioles for a while now as an organization. They have made their remakes in the offseason. They're now trying to play baseball as it's played in 2019, which is great. Chris Davis, since his 0 for everything start, is slashing .274, .346, and slugging .521.
Wow.
He's a real baseball player again. I don't know how it happened, and I have no idea how long it lasts, but can the Orioles deal Chris Davis? Is he a piece anybody wants?
Yeah, they got to pick up his contract. He's making so much money.
It's a lot.
That's the issue. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen deals like Hamels comes to mind, too. I mean, Hamels was not pitching well in Texas, and was $22.5 million was his salary last year, plus the big buyout of the option, if there was going to be a buyout, and the Cubs, there had to be some money exchange for the Cubs to make that deal. And, you know, that could happen with another team where basically all of the salary is picked up, and then you actually can pick up a prospect in return. Otherwise, it's just a money dump. But I think it's conceivable. The only issue is that if you're a contender, how many contenders, like real contenders, have a truly crappy first baseman? It's really hard to come up with many, and I think that contributes. We're talking about Davis, but Jose Abreu is a trade candidate every year.
Yeah,
I have a feeling if Jose Abreu could have been traded for a whole bunch of stuff, that would have already happened last year, 2 years ago, or whatever. It's just that's, you know, you just don't see guys hitting Mendoza line with no power at first base. If you're doing that, then you're probably not that good a team. You know, it's just, it's pretty rare. And so I think that's where we're at, where maybe as a DH, you know, maybe you could see it as a platoon guy or whatever. But that's on the extreme. It would require basically all of his salary being picked up, and then you're accepting the fact that you're getting a C-level prospect. On that level, sure, I think he could be traded.
I wanted to bring up something that I read today in the Tribune that I think was a really thoughtful point made by the Tribune's Phil Rosenthal. And it has to do with the way in Chicago that we're covering Ben Zobrist and his divorce and the filings and what that's meant to the Cubs. His larger point was, I want to get your thoughts on this.
Yep.
As gambling, as legalized gambling becomes accepted, becomes part of our world as sports consumers, all of this personal stuff, and especially in baseball, when we know how this can affect guys over 6 months and some of these personal dramas, that whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not, whether it is a divorce, whether it's unfortunately a sick kid or a business turned sour, all of a sudden, this is the currency of legal gambling. And it isn't just the sharps in Vegas. You know, he mentions Robert De Niro's character in Casino, the guy who was, you know, based on a real person who knew all that stuff, who knew who was drunk and knew whose wife had left him. This is all public domain now in a way where we can't really decry it because of all the money at stake.
Yeah, I think that was, it's hard for me to separate now versus before, because I think that was the case before the social media age and people dying to get information and journalism being what it is. I think we were already there. Maybe it's a little bit more of a push. It's possible. I mean, it's funny how these things stick in your mind. Frank Thomas, if you go back and look at his numbers, the argument was always that he had the worst year of his career the year that he got divorced. You know, that these things do affect on-field performance, and that is the case. I mean, I find it kind of distasteful, and whatever happens with Mr. Zobrist and the soon-to-be former Mrs. Zobrist, you know, I don't know that that advances the public discourse, but I think we're there. You know, I think we're there, and I think that as unfortunate and crappy as it is, and I don't want to say that, well, you're in the public domain, but you're in the public domain. And I think that I think it's on players to understand what they're getting themselves into. It stinks. I don't want it. I wish that it wasn't the case. I don't think that the Zobrist family should have to deal with this stuff. But I would imagine that rookie orientations and things like that, that prospects should be briefed on all this. That, you know, certainly if something really nasty, I mean, obviously Addison Russell, that's, talk about it as much as you want. That's horrendous. But, you know, even things that are not necessarily your fault or that are personal, it's going to happen. We are there. I think whether it's gambling or whether it's all the conditions that existed before gambling, unfortunately, that's where we are.
Jonah, appreciate it as always. Great talk with you. Have a wonderful week on baseball.
Thank you. You guys too.
That is Jonah Carey. He joins us every Friday to talk baseball.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.